stayed up and watched the Royal Rumble on Monday and I still haven't recovered.
Oh, yeah. I can't stay up anymore.
No, I can't stay up.
I watched the pre-show and then about 5 minutes before it started, I thought I'm going to bed. And then I watched it on the network the next day.
It's the one pay-per-view I have to watch live because I can't avoid the spoilers.
WrestleMania is the one. Mind you, I didn't look at my phone. I woke up like 7 o'clock
the
next day. Didn't look at my phone, put it straight on then. And I was very disappointed.
I thought it was really good until Brock Lesnar came in and then he all just started lying around the ring for no reason.
The only thing I enjoyed, AJ Styles and John Cena's match was just phenomenal.
Oh,
pun intended. But the Royal Rumble's just no surprises. It's just...
No.
Well, we all knew Ty Dillinger was coming in at 10, didn't we? I thought it was going to be Tyler Bates instead of Gallagher. It would have made more sense.
Yeah, well, Tyler Bates was there to do NXT.
Yeah, he was there.
To do NXT, it was a couple of them, Pete Dunne, Brent Steve, R7, and Mark Andrews, I think they all signed up
for
NXT contracts.
Alright, so it'd be cool if they become like a little, they had a group on the computer game but called the United Kingdom a couple of years ago. It could be if they did that and become a little faction between the three of them.
Westwood.
This is Adam Virgo.
This is John Curtis.
Hi, this is Stan
Collymore. And you are listening to the
V2
Football Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me this week, I've got Anthony Kendrick.
Good evening.
And joining us again, we've got Ash and Al from the Ash and Al Premier League Podcast. How are you doing, lads?
Good, hello everyone. Hello.
Alright, so one story caught my eye this week before we start. The England Player of the Year awards have been announced. Any idea, you know, who won it?
I didn't even know there was a Player of the Year awards, to be honest with you.
I did see it, I can't remember. I think Vardy was second and me third.
Lallana won it.
Surprised Rooney didn't win Breaking the Record and all. I know he's not been England's best player, but you'd think because of that he probably would have almost won by default.
Well, yeah, it's probably the biggest talking point for England for the last couple of years, really, isn't it? So you would have thought he would have.
Yeah, Adam Lallana won with 39% of the votes. Vardy came second with 12%. And then Wayne Rooney came third with 8% of the votes.
Was that fan votes?
I haven't got that written down, I assume.
Yeah, actually, no, I think it is fan. I think there is like an FA poll or something. But yeah, no, I'm pretty happy with that, actually, because Lallana has been genuinely England's best player, but you would expect Rooney to win with Breaking the Record and everything. So yeah, I think that's good, because Lallana's genuinely been England's best player. And yeah.
I think he's chipped in with goals as well. Surprised if it's a fan vote that no Arsenal player won it, to be honest with you.
Nathan Redmond picked up the under-21 award with 32% of the votes, with James Ward-Prowse getting 25% and Ruben Loftus-Cheek coming third of 12.
He's had a good season, Redmond, isn't he, so far?
Yeah.
Oh, he's been very good for the under-21s.
I haven't seen much of the under-21s.
He's done well for Southampton, though, hasn't he? Because he's been playing more of a striker.
I've said, he's been playing out of position up front, hasn't he?
But I think it works better for him as the striker, playing through the middle. I think I don't know. I'm not sure in the future what lies ahead for him, but he has got a lot of pace, and I think he's got some serious potential.
Yeah, that's the thing, is his pace is obviously his greatest asset.
I think we talked about it a couple of weeks back on our podcast.
It's just, like you say, he needs a good run in that position of a season or two, because he's finishing at the moment. Yeah, he's getting in the finish. Yeah, he's getting in all the right positions. But if he can just get the composure in front of the goal, then he could be something, a force to be reckoned with.
Better than Theo Walcott for sure.
Off to Liverpool.
Yeah.
Alright, so, a bit earlier than usual, we'll go straight into a game of some of the pitch. So we're going to go triple threat this week. So Al, you can go first this week, as you won last week.
Don't we know it.
Alright, we'll go Al, Anthony and then Ash, and then just keep going. You've got 3 goes each.
Is that alphabetical order? Because it's quite convenient all our names begin with A.
Yeah. All right, so I want you to name Brazilians that have won the Premier League. Al?
William.
William, yep. He's won it once at Chelsea.
That's
Ant- not me, is it? Anthony,
Fernandinho.
Yes. He's won it
once. Out of interest, how many correct answers are there in total?
11. Ash?
Drawing a blank here already. Cesar, is it Cesar? Keeper?
No.
What are you saying?
Lulu Cesar?
Nope. Yeah. Al?
David Luiz?
He has not. He mustn't have been there. Anthony?
Okay, I was also thinking David Luiz, but obviously I'm not going to go for him now. We've shown that's wrong. I'll go for Anderson, the Man United midfielder.
Yes. Surprisingly, he's won it 4 times.
Jesus Christ.
Thoughts longevity, he must
have. 08, yeah, 07, 08, 08, 09, 10, 11, 12, 13.
That's 4 points to me, right?
Ash?
Raphael?
Yes, he's won three times.
Wonder who the next one's going to be.
I get it now. Well, you understand the question, though. Eddie's dropped, though.
Your last go, Al.
Oh,
I'm
going to go for Fabio. Oh.
Yes, he's won it once.
I've got two in my head. It's annoying. Who won it? Oh, God. Leicester won it last year. Can't remember who won it the year before. I'll go Fernando, the City midfielder.
No.
Okay.
Right, last go, Ash.
Cleberson?
Nope.
Can I suggest Alex? I nearly said him, the Chelsea.
Alex,
yeah.
You've got to kick yourself if you hear them.
I've never won it. I've never won it.
You've got to have Edo and Gilberto Silva, who won it with Arsenal. And then you could have had Belletti, Alex, Oscar, Ramirez, and Philippe Luiz, who all won it with Chelsea. So at the end of round one, Al has two, Ash has one, and Anthony has two.
Coutinho won it.
Who? Coutinho?
Coutinho, the Liverpool. Oh, wait, hang on, sorry. Nah, wait a minute.
So today, former Chelsea and England midfielder Frank Lampard announces retirement after 21 years of professional game. So we put up a poll on Twitter to see which of the golden generation was the best attacking midfielder.
I'll say that Lampard, I'd say they're both definitely better than Gerrard because they've won Premier League titles.
Without a doubt.
The options was Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, and Paul Scholes.
I think Scholes personally. I think, but perhaps I'm biased. I don't know. I don't know. I think all three are obviously fantastic players. It's very difficult because Lampard probably scored the most goals. Paul Scholes is the most talented naturally, I think. And probably the best player, whereas Gerrard carried his team the most. So I think they'll all offer something different. I think overall for me, I'd have to pick Paul Scholes, but all three fantastic players who did different things.
Yeah, so...
Without doubt. You've got to look at his record. Scoring record is absolutely second to none for a midfielder. You know, Chelsea record scorer.
Yeah.
But as you said, you've got to go for Scholes over him. I think he's just the most technically gifted English player we've had, maybe ever, to be honest with you. I can't see a better player than him. In an England shirt, you know.
You can see why he retired from England, Juicy, having to play behind them too.
Yeah, well, he was shoved out on the left, wouldn't he? Yeah, most of the time under Sven or whatever, just to have them in the team. And well, it didn't work out, did it? You've got to play the players in their best positions.
Yeah, so
it's crazy to think one year. Sorry, Lampard and Gerrard were second and third in the Ballon d'Or vote. I think they got like 20-odd% of the vote each.
Yeah,
it's crazy to think that was how highly they were rated at one point as the you know, the second and third great, like, best players in the world. It's just crazy that we, you know, the England side had what was rated as that high and didn't win anything.
Well, we just couldn't find a system where, well, they did for like a couple, about a year. They had Gerrard playing in off the left with Lampard and a defensive midfielder, or Barry, wasn't it?
I just think if you'd played a 4-5-1, you know, you have your defensive mid, you'd Carrick, Barry, whoever, even Owen Hargreaves at one point, and then you have the other two, Gerrard, Lampard, able to get forward at will, you know, and one behind one striker, creating more room for them. It could have been so good, but, you know, to not play 4-4-2, I think at the time was seen as was crazy. You know, 4-4-2 was just the way it's always done, and whereas now you don't see many teams playing 4-4-2. It's more 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1 these days.
Right, so do you want to know the results?
So
in third place we have Steven Gerrard with 20% of the vote. Frank Lampard came second with 28%, and then Paul Scholes got 52% of the vote.
Congratulations.
But we always do get accused of having too many Man United fans as our followers.
That's going to do nothing to quell the suspicions, is it?
Especially when you hear the results of the performance of the week. Right, so do we have any favourite memories of Frank Lampard during his playing career?
That goal against Germany, surely I just remember his face when that goal wasn't given. You know, when it obviously crossed the line in the Euros, and that for me is the one thing that will stand out. Stick out in my head.
Yeah, for me, I think it was when England actually played at Portman Road, obviously the home of the mighty Ipswich Town. I think it was against Croatia, and he pinged one in right in the top corner. About 20, 25 yards, so just because it was Ipswich, you know, so thought I'd get that in, you know. Am I the only Welshman here? I agree with the England one, actually. That was
Germany against Germany.
Strangely as well, scoring that goal for City as well against Chelsea, you know, getting the equaliser, that was a very strange moment, obviously, because of all the time he spent at Chelsea, and that's something I'll remember as well, even though, you know, he scores, you know, God knows how many goals, hundreds of goals for Chelsea, but I'll remember that one goal he scored for City.
Yeah, because he scored 217 for Chelsea, something like that. Did he celebrate that goal? I can't remember.
No, he didn't celebrate anything, from what I remember anyway.
I think that's a shame. I think ex-players, they should, you know, I know they feel towards their own club, but it's a goal, you know, it's one of the best things you can do in a football game, really, if you're an attacking player,
respect,
score a goal, isn't it?
Respect for the former club.
Yeah, which is respect for their current club as well, isn't it? You know, and for the fans as well, isn't it? You know, celebrate the goal.
What do you think of he's come out recently saying that he thinks elite players should not exactly bypass the FA coaching badges, but there should be a quicker way for elite players to get into coaching?
I disagree with that. I think that everybody should go the same route. It doesn't matter how good a player you are.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're odious. Southgate, when he took over Middlesbrough, he was like fast track. He didn't have the badges, but they give him so long, didn't they, a period to get the qualifications, I think. But not for me. I think, like I said, everyone should have to go through the process.
I think Southgate, officially, at one point, was the manager. He was the manager, you know, he did all the managerial stuff, but I think officially he was the assistant manager at one point, with the assistant manager being the manager, because Southgate didn't have the paperwork, you know, he hadn't done all the coaching badges and stuff. I think it's a difficult one, because I know a couple of Football League managers have spoke out about this, because they say that they can't get chances because all the Premier League jobs and all the big jobs in the Football League, they just go to ex-players, you know. Look at someone like Ryan Giggs, you know, he could be a great manager, but, you know, he's going to get a job, you know, he's at least been spoken to for the Swansea job. And someone like, I think the best example I could probably give you is Zola getting the job at Birmingham, who replaced Gary Rowett, who's a decent coach. Zola's, you know, an unknown quantity as a coach in anything, in any respectable league. I know he has done a bit abroad, but nothing of any note. He's not like he's coaching the German or the French or Spanish or a good league. And because he was a fantastic player, he gets the job at Birmingham, and so far he's made a poor start. I think to answer your question about players being fast tracked, I can see why he'd say that, because he's a former player and he wants to get a managerial job, and because as a player, I guess you must know a lot about the Premier League, know a lot about the divisions. But for me, I think they should go the same way as all the other coaches and have to do all their badges officially and that. And yeah, that's my view.
Yeah, The same here. Yeah. Also, I was going to say another example of Middlesbrough years ago when they got Brian Robson there.
Yeah, Brian Robson.
It's different now. I mean, back then we got a star name. The players would come and play for that guy. Now, you know, they come the highest. Whoever's going to pay them the highest, they'll go there rather than go and play for a manager. Unless it's your Mourinho's or your Peps, then I don't think a player is fussed about working with anyone unless they're getting a good wage, really.
All right, so we wish him well for the future anyway. So we'll go on to round two.
Oh,
right, so this time we'll go Anthony, Ash and then Al.
Yes.
So I want you to name clubs that have won the Scottish top flight.
Okay. That's easy, isn't it? Celtic.
Yeah.
I think they've won it, yeah.
Ash?
Rangers?
Yeah.
Oof. That's it, isn't it? Is that pretty
Aberdeen, yeah. They last won it 1984-85 season. They've won it four times.
Is this since the beginning of, like, time?
Yeah.
Or... Okay.
If we said the Premier League, you'll get 22 answers.
Yeah. A decent Scottish... Hearts?
Hearts, yeah. They've won it four times. The last time they won it was 1959-1960 season.
Queen's Park?
Nope.
Nightmare.
I'm going to go for Hibernia.
Yes, they've also won it four times. Last time they won it was 1951-1952 season.
Right,
last go, Anthony.
Okay, we've got some bit now. We said Dunfermline.
Dunfermline, nope. Ash.
Dundee?
Yes.
Yeah. You're back.
There's won it once in 1961-1962.
Yeah, I remember that. It was a good season.
Dundee United.
Yes, they've also won it once.
I was actually going to go for Dundee United before you said Dundee.
They also won it once in the 1982-83 season. Right, so you also could have had Dumbarton, who won it in 1891-92. Motherwell, Kilmarnock, and Third Land Arc.
I was going to say Kilmarnock as my next one. She's such a liar.
Alright, so at the end of round two, Al has 5 points, Anthony has 4 points, and Ash has 3 points. So, we'll have our final round later. Alright, so transfer deadline day. Happen. So we start with Southampton. They signed Napoli striker Manio Cabradini and Nice goalkeeper Muntz Hassan. That's the best I'm going to get.
Who looks like Sergio Ramos's twin brother.
He does, yeah. Very good looking man.
Well, I
don't know anything about the goalkeeper, to be honest, but Gabbiadini, I think, is a good signing. I think he'll adapt very well to the Premier League. He's sort of... He's a striker, if you like, but he's more of like an inside forward, so he can play on the wing as well.
Mm.
He's quite an intelligent player, drifts, finds the space quite well. He's played for the Italian team a few times, and you know, you're not a mug if you play for them. I think he'll do well. As for the goalkeeper, I've got no idea if he displaced Fraser Forster or not. I presume not, but I do know that there was a BBC article on the quality of goalkeepers' saves, like shots to saves ratio, and how many they should be saving, and he was one of the poorest, along with Claudio Bravo. So maybe you know.
Was he first choice sent out in Nice? Does anyone know?
I'm not sure. He's made 50 appearances for them, and he's played at France every level up to under 21. So he must be decent.
Yeah.
He's played for their manager before, so that's what they know him.
But yeah, Gabbiadini, he looks a decent signing.
Yeah.
Didn't he have a spell?
No, I don't think so. There's someone else called Gabbiadini.
Yeah, I think so.
Marco.
But, the only thing, he's not a prolific scorer, but like Andy said, his overall play for the team and assists that wide, and you know, he looks a solid signing for them.
Yeah,
and really add to the side.
So Crystal Palace bolstered the defence with the loan signing of Sacco and Sunderland defender Van I can never remember his name. Van Aanholt for £14 million. Was anyone surprised that Sunderland left Van Aanholt go, as he's the second highest goal scorer?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised they left. He's a top scorer for Sunderland this season, isn't he?
He's second behind Defoe. He's got three goals and Defoe's got 12 goals.
He's been one of their better performers all season, really. Yeah. So obviously they got good money for him, but then they haven't really had time to bring in replacement yet.
They bought Gibson and
Oviedo,
but not really replacements.
I like Van Aanholt going forward. He's a very good player going forward, and he scored a couple of goals. But defensively, I think there's a reason he's not made it, at Chelsea or anywhere. I think he's very suspect defensively and makes too many mistakes. I think Oviedo is better defensively. I know we see him get forward as well, but I think Oviedo is a better player defensively. And it's 14 million with add-on. Well, 40 million if all the add-ons and stuff go through. I think the initial fees is about half that. Mm. But I do think Sunderland have got very good money, and if I was the manager, I'd have sold him for that, to be honest. And I would be quite happy bringing in Oviedo.
Yeah, it's very good money for Sunderland. Yeah. Wrong. It's good money for them.
Yeah, they had a penny sign of, it was just over a million, I think. It was 1.5 million.
No. I just think he's one of them players that looks very good and highlights and stuff because he does make them bombing runs forward, but he just makes two mistakes. That's my thoughts.
Last one, Burnley have broken the club record by signing midfielder Robbie Brady from Norwich.
Very good delivery. If you need someone to take a last minute free kick or corner, he's the guy you'd want. Probably him or Snodgrass, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Burnley have done all right business, I think, in terms of that. They're just steady players to bring in and do a good job for the side. It's nothing spectacular, but I mean, Sean Dyche would say they battle hard, as they say. he's just brought these players in to continue that. He's doing a good job, as a league table shot.
Burnley, pains me to say it, but...
Yeah, and his best mate is Jeff Kendricks are there. Yeah, so they're good mates. Yeah. So obviously they're linking up again as well. Like you said, his delivery is good. Much it pains me to admit it, being an Orange, former Orange player he was, but just a solid signing really.
For the Burnley strikers, you need somebody who can put in good delivery for the votes. Right. So before we go on to the final round of some of the pitch, we'll announce the performance of the week. Anthony. He was nominated this week.
Okay, so it was FA Cup this weekend. So the players are all from the FA Cup. But Jamie Collins for his performance against Leeds in Sutton United, beat them 1-0. Another shock win, Wolves beating Liverpool. Helder Costa's got a nomination for his Man of the Match performance. Theo Robinson for Lincoln, who beat Brighton 3-1 in the Cup. And Danny Welbeck, a more regular nominee. For his part in Arsenal's 5-0 win over Southampton, now the four nominees. So, what do you guys think? Who would you vote for of those?
In the end, I went for Costa. Yeah, Wolves. It was a bit of a toss-up between him and Welbeck, but Welbeck came back from injury. But because of the weakened Southampton side, I thought he played well coming back from injury. But I think it was expected him to put in a decent performance. But Costa was, first half especially, tore Liverpool apart really. And Liverpool very lucky. Wolves only scored two as well. So, and he was into. And obviously, he signed on a permanent deal now as well. So,
that's another club record for Wolves, isn't it?
Was it? Yeah. Yeah, for me, you had Costa.
Same as me, Costa.
Yeah, I nominated Robinson, so I went for him.
He's got a move as well, hasn't he? He's moved to Southend from Lincoln. So, whether Lincoln have got a chance in the next round of the FA Cup remains to be seen.
Who did they got Burnley away, was it?
Yeah, they've got Burnley. I'm glad Theo Robinson's got moved to a Football League side, to be fair, to Southend. I can reveal that Jamie Collins got 8%, Theo Robinson only got 11%, Danny Welbeck 20%. So the runaway winner this week, 61% of the vote, was Helder Costa.
He scored against Liverpool.
For his performance against Liverpool.
Which reinforces the view that we have too many Man United fans as our followers.
To be fair, Wolves did play extremely well, it's a good nomination, I suppose. Good winner, I should say.
Alright, so we'll move on to the final. So this time, Ash, you can go first.
Oh, great.
Okay, so I want you to name the clubs that were seeded for the round of 32 in this year's Europa League. So it was 6-16.
Manchester United.
No. Oh. They didn't win their group. They came second in the group. Al?
That's a hard one. Southampton?
Nope.
They got knocked up.
Anthony?
I'm just trying to think of teams that are in there.
It's difficult, this. I will go Lyon.
Yes. They're one of the top four seeded sides that came down from the Champions League. Ash?
Me again already. Jesus. Stop it. Jesus.
Just say a mid-European, sir.
CSKA Moscow?
Nope.
It's worth a guess. Really. I'm going to go for Schalke.
Yes.
Come on.
And it's so you've now got six hours. So.
I guess because you said seeded. I'll say Tottenham. They're in the Europa League.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So you've drawn level. You've got six each. So. Ash, just
what is it?
Ajax.
Yeah. Yes. Well done. You got one.
Yeah. They always clean up.
Right, last go, Al, unless it goes to Sunday.
It wasn't Middlesbrough, I'll give you a clue. Next season, well done. I go for...
Anthony?
Okay. Well, Man United weren't seeded.
No.
Because that was given as an incorrect answer. So I will guess their opponent, Saint Etienne.
Yes.
Yes!
Oh, so we go to Sunday.
Oh, fuck. I've got any more answers.
So we've got seven each, Al and Anthony. So we'll go Sunday. So, Al. So before the win, Anthony?
Because I think they were in the Champions League. I think they got knocked out in the Champions League. Roma.
Yes.
Oh, well done.
Congratulations, Anthony. You're this week's son of the pitch.
Right. Yes!
I can't remember last time Anthony won.
Going mental in my room here.
Well done.
Right, so you could have had...
Well done.
Could have also had
on a serious note, well played, guys. That was a very good, very good, very, very, very good quiz as well, Chris. Well done for putting that together.
Me and you, but
All right, so you also could have had Apwell.
Oh, yeah.
You could have had Besiktas, Fenerbahce, Ghent, Gobenhaven, Shakhtar Donetsk, Sparta Prague, or Zenit St. Petersburg. Right, congratulations, Anthony.
Well
done. First time I've won in a long time, Anthony.
I can't remember last time you won.
Oh, thanks.
That's not really giving you much compliments here, Al. First time you've won, it's just
So during the African Cup of Nations, we've been selecting our African All-Star 11. And so far, we've picked our goalkeeper, our defence and our strikers. So the team so far is Bruce Garbulau on goal. In defence, we have Lauren, Lucas Radebe and Ridibert Song. And up front, we picked Samuel Leto, George Weah and Roger Miller in a fourth.
Can I ask why you didn't choose Asamoah Gyan? I was very disappointed to hear he wasn't in the team.
You didn't nominate him, you didn't come on this.
He's the top ever African goal scorer at World Cups, and I'm very sad that he's not on the team. I'm very, very, very upset.
You weren't on the show to champion him.
I'm championing him now.
It's because he's not a librarian like George Weah. So.
Again with that joke.
I've been basking in the glory of that joke all week.
It's fine. We don't need Asamoah Gyan in this team then.
You can put him in the... If you want to get rid of Yaya Toure, you can put him in midfield. If you want.
I think we lose all respect. What respect?
Alright, so today we're going to pick our four midfielders. So, as you're chatting, Anthony, who do you go for?
I think Yaya Toure. you can't not have him in this team, surely. He's won the African Player of the Year four times. You know, 2011, 12, 13, 14. You know... incredible midfielder for Manchester City, one of the best midfielders we've ever had in the Premier League. He can't not be in the team, surely. And if he's not in the team, I'm quitting the show.
Well, as there's only four of us on, and there's four spaces.
Looks like my...
Ash, who do you go for?
I've gone for JJ, so good in England, twice of culture.
Yeah.
Got to be done. Nigerian legend. Obviously, Fenerbahce started his career in Fenerbahce. Actually, dual citizenship. He's Turkish as well. No one knows.
A lot of the foreigners took Turkish citizenship because they brought in a rule where they could only have so many foreigners in the team.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Sure. But yeah, great time at PSG, of course. Went to Bolton, stayed there. Obviously, we all know his time at Bolton. Surprised he never went to another club. You know, the bigger club from Bolton, but obviously loyal to the club. Where, you know, Nigerian Player of the Year seven times, I think it was. Never won the African Football of the Year, but he did get the BBC African Football of the Year two years running. He's just, you know, he's one of them who come on the scene. He was so skillful and had the flair, not normally associated with the African players. You know, he's more like a Brazilian, you know, with flair and pace and attacking prowess. So, yeah, I think, you know, fantastic signing.
Him and Dorke have had a great little partnership, I thought.
And helped Nigeria with a surprise win, gold medal in the Olympics in 96, I think it was.
Mohamed Yavuzi was called when he played in Turkey, if anyone's wondering.
I knew that, I couldn't say it, that was all.
Right, Al, who did you go for?
I went for Jeremy, Cameroon midfielder. Also played right back as well, so... playing defence, we can get him in. Won the Olympics with Cameroon in 2000.
Oh, yeah.
In Sydney.
Sydney, right.
Won the Champions League with Real Madrid. Won so many league titles with them and with Chelsea.
Yeah,
played with Chelsea, played for Middlesbrough.
You win anything yet?
Yeah. League Cup, apart from throwing. League Cup, played 33 games for us.
Did he, yeah?
Played for Newcastle as well. I believe he's won the African... he's won the... What's it called?
Football of the Year.
African Football of the Year, and the whole thing, what was it at the moment? African Cup of Nations.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I think he's a very forgotten man, Jeremy.
I think you're right, I didn't think of him until you said. I didn't think of him at all.
No, I agree. I didn't cross my mind at all. He's a fantastic free kick taker as well. I remember he scored a couple.
Right, so I've gone for Abade Pele. Legendary Ghanaian attacking midfielder. He had 33 goals in 73 games. So, probably had the best years of his career playing in the French League. He won the Champions League once. He won the African Cup of Nations once. He was African Footballer of the Year three times in 91, 92, 93. And he was the Player of the Tournament in 1992.
His son's played professional.
I think all three of them are strikers, and I think they've all been...
Yeah.
At least two out of...
Marseille. He played most of his career,
was it? Yeah,
yeah, because somebody, a Premiership club, signed one of his boys.
Yeah, Andre joined Swansea and went to West Ham, and then Jordan Ayew went to Villa. He moved on deadline day. I think he went to Swansea on deadline day.
Yeah, Jordan did. Yeah, Taylor went the other way. Swansea.
Yeah, they're both very good. Andre's the more talented of the two, but they're both two you know, handy players.
Yeah. Jordan's a good signing for Swansea as well. Like,
yeah.
Not bad for Swansea. Well, I think he was one of Villa's better performers last year as well, wasn't he? So it was a good, solid signing, wasn't it?
Yeah, a bit of an. Villa did have some talent in that team. I know it was. They did so crap, but they did have. There were some good players in that team, like Ayew and Idrissa Gueye as well, as another one I really like who's moved to Everton. Yeah. But this is quite a way away from nominating our team, African team of best ever African team.
Yeah.
All right, so is it worth it? So our team in full is Bruce Garbalar on goal, Lauren, Lucas Radivi and Ribbert Song in defence. Then we have Jeremy as kind of the holding midfielder, I'm guessing. Then we have Yaya Toure, JJ Okocha and Pele as an attacking three behind Eto'o, George Weah and Roger Miller.
It's a World Cup winning team, that is.
Well, I think it's a Scottish Premiership winning team.
They'll score a lot, but I think they'll concede a lot as well.
No, it is a good team, really. I disagree with one player, but yeah, other than that, yeah, it's a very good team.
So who would have you taken out to put Gian in?
Either, probably Roger Miller, I think. Maybe shoot me, fine, but yeah, I think Asamoah Gyan's got, his record is incredible. You know, goal-scoring record for Ghana, and Ghana are one of the top African nations, you know, the last 10 or so years, so for me, he's got to be there. He's scored more than anyone else at World Cups as well, any other African player, so, yeah. But I don't want to keep going on and on about him. That's just my opinion, and I've obviously been shot down by other opinions in BT Football.
But Roger Miller's dance, see, that's the difference.
Right, real good goal celebration.
Right, so before we finish, Anthony, do you want to talk us what's happening over the next couple of weeks for our young Premier League 11?
Yeah, so we're going to do this. Young Premier League under 23 Premier League. It stemmed from an argument me and Hero had over two young players. I'm gonna keep quiet about who they were, but I'm sure it'll come up later on at some point. So each week we're gonna nominate four people on Twitter who we think are the best under 23 in their position. So first week we'll do goalkeepers, and then we'll do four right backs the following week, and so on and so forth. And then in 11 weeks' time, we'll have the under 23 Premier League team, best Premier League team. So nominees will go up on Twitter for goalkeepers in due course, and yeah, vote every week for your favourite, and we'll have a team. I'm looking forward to it. I'm interested to see who wins the argument out of me and Hero. I swear Asamoah Gyan's not going to be nominated as well.
Have we decided which four goalkeepers we're going for? I know we were talking about it last night.
Yeah, so the rule is under 23, well, 23 or under is going to be the rule throughout. And there's not really many options you can pick from, really. So we've got Jordan Pickford of Sunderland, Laureus Karius of Liverpool, who's 23, Jack Butland, and Angus Gunn, the Manchester City
machine gun.
because there's genuinely, after the first three, there's not really a lot else.
We'll quite go to the Courtois, 24.
So yeah, they're going to be the four nominees, which will go up on Twitter soon. So yeah, just vote every week, and in 11 weeks, we'll have the under 23 Premier League team of best Premier League team. We need a more catchy name for this.
I'm sure we'll get come up with one over the next couple of weeks.
So yeah, should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Alright, so check out our website, v2football.com. This week I put another one of Ash's Q&A's up with, who did I do this week? Ben Smith. Put that up today. Alright, so you can also see my Man United most disappointing 11, which is an 11 of disappointing signings, not disappointing in terms of ability. So series 4 of Ash and Elle podcast is starting this week.
Yeah, be back this week. Yeah,
have you got anything new,
maybe
exciting?
Yeah, definitely brand new guest.
Yes, and it won't be Irish or German, so it's going to be a stretch. It is for us.
Well, it's a good guess, that.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, check that out.
Is the Bay Map quiz going to continue in Series 4? Are we going to get a new quiz? Or?
Yeah, of course it is.
It'll continue. I mean, we fast run out of Bay Maps, but we'll keep it going somehow.
Should get one of them.
I know I'm bad at all the quizzes, so I'm champion of that.
Oh, I give it to you in the end, and I got bad for it.
Could you get one of them football question of the day calendars?
There's a guy at work who had one of them. He's had one for years, and it's ran out. So we didn't know where his questions came from, but we found out it was calendars because his calendars stopped, and he stopped giving us a question of the day at work now. Very sad. But if I steal his calendar, I could give you a load of questions there.
There we are, happy days.
All right, so what happens on the 72 show this week, Anthony?
So two main things. We talked the FA Cup, talked about the FA Cup, Sutton and Lincoln, the two non-league sides getting through to the next round, and their game against Arsenal, big story there. We reviewed all the other games. Talked about transfer deadline day, quite a lot of transfers. Scott Hogan joining Villa. It's alright. Zach Clough as well, leaving Bolton to join Forest. Loads of other transfers we went through. A few other championship stories. Newcastle, Brighton continue their battle at the top. Scunthorpe now top of League One. Kevin Nolan coming in at Notts County Bots. Do you want me to keep going, or is that enough for what happened in the 72? Yeah, no, it was a really good show, actually. So, yeah, check that out, please.
Yeah, we also recorded the first interview for the new series of Academy, which will be released in the summer. We had a Man United Academy coach, Tom Statham, on. So it was a really interesting guy. We discussed football versus education after Rooney came out saying he didn't have any qualifications for when he retires.
It's obvious, isn't it? Look.
I don't think we're getting him as a guest on the show anymore. Unless he's guesting on your show.
You never know.
We never know with us.
We don't know, so
we know everyone.
All right, so follow us on Twitter, it's at @V2Football, and like us on Facebook. And it's Ash and Al Podcast.
There we are, spot on.
Yes? Yay.
Yeah, Twitter page, yeah.
All right, so it's good night for me, and it's good night for the rest of the lads.
Good night.
Good night.